Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Cynthia Pong, founder and CEO of Embrace Change. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you so much for having me.
And I love the topic that we're going to talk about today, one that needs to be brought up more in businesses for sure. But before we get started, tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, absolutely. So my name is Cynthia Pong. I am based in New York City in the U.S., in Harlem, for those who are familiar, on Lenape land. And I've had a quite non-linear career and leadership journey.
Okay.
which lends itself well to the work I do now with Embrace Change, because I think a lot of folks can relate to knowing that something might be quote unquote wrong with their current situation, with their job, work, career, and not knowing what to do with it. And so in my journey, I've had to really trial and error my way forward through a lot of different things. Happy to share more about it, but that's a bit about myself. And, you know, we can talk more about Embrace Change too, if that's relevant.
You know, and I think when you talk about the ups and downs or, you know, I don't even know those curvy roads that we take when we get up to leadership, I think most leaders feel that. So as we go, I think maybe you can share your stories if it resonates with it, for sure. But audience, we have a great topic today, psychological safety. So when we think safety, most people think physical safety, right? We've got our OSHA in the US and, you know, our health and safety acts up here in Canada and wherever else you are, you likely have those. But psychological safety is not always thought about. So why does that topic mean so much to you?
Yes. So it means a lot to me because I think I've experienced it on multiple sides, both as someone who has worked in different work environments from nonprofit and kind of tangential to government, all the way now to running my own business and leading a team where it's important for me to provide or create a culture where there is psychological safety for them. Mm-hmm. And just to level set, you know, to make sure kind of we're all on the same page and whatnot. Psychological safety, at least the way I think about it, is when you have an environment and psychological safety is present where people feel safe to express themselves, to ask questions, to speak up, to make mistakes, even take risks and make mistakes without this fear that they will be punished, that they will be humiliated, that there's going to be some negative ramification to, you know, being that open in the workplace. And the reason that it's so important, and folks who want to look more into it, a couple of years ago, you probably know about this, Tara, but like Google did this Aristotle project where they did some research around what makes teams the most productive and innovative. And surprisingly, the number one indicator was this presence of psychological safety. If a team has that, then they're far happier, more fulfilled, more successful in the work that they do. So I was like, all right, there's something to this. But the final nugget I'll kind of put on here is that at Embrace Change, we specialize in working with women of color or BIPOC women, basically people who identify as women and are from different racial backgrounds that are not kind of the mainstream in the US. And so for that subsector of folks, psychological safety is more on the rare side. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of, and it's not an intentional thing necessarily, but just in most workplaces, you may not feel that it is okay to actually speak your mind or to ask for something, to advocate for yourself, because you have been taught and conditioned not to do that, to do good work, but don't make a big fuss, don't rock the boat, you know, don't do anything extra like that, because you will be made to feel a certain way. You may be labeled certain things. And so there is not psychological safety for a lot of our clients at Embrace Change in our larger community. So I'll stop there. I'm curious to see, you know, what your experience has been too, because I know you're really into this topic as well.
I love it. And so when I work with leaders, I talk a lot about, like, we need to be inclusive. We need to make sure people feel welcome, heard, and valued, no matter who they are, where they come from. And that helps with psychological safety, feeling comfortable with speaking out. Hey, and maybe even saying there's a physical safety issue, which maybe they would
Right.
have hidden because they were too afraid to say anything, you know. And the
Absolutely.
other things that I've heard about, because I do come from trucking transportation, and so I've heard about things such as the locker room chat, you know, or there's that, you know, lady calendar posted, but the women that work there do not appreciate that, but are too afraid to say anything, you know. So even those
Absolutely.
little tiny visual things like a calendar can really make somebody feel unsafe or not comfortable, right? So yeah, I think it's out there, let's be honest, right?
It is. It is. And, I think every workplace is a work in progress. This is not something where I think it's like an all or nothing, a perfectionism, quote unquote, type of thing. But we do need to be more and more aware about those things. Like exactly the example that you made, that's a visual cue. It is sending a certain message within which there are sub messages, and to be cued into that and how that might create, in some cases, as intense as like a visual form of harassment, basically, for certain, people in that environment. It's really important to be cognizant of that and to think about, okay, as leaders, what are you doing to cultivate or disrupt whatever existing culture that might be, so that it is safe in all the ways for all of your workers and employees.
Yeah, and I always say it's about bringing the unconscious conscious, because a lot of these things are just done and it's a norm, but we have to make those things conscious now and be aware of what's out there and what might be holding our employees back.
Absolutely. I remember a couple years ago, I did a piece with The Atlantic that was about how it can be problematic when we think about workplaces like a family. Like, I'm sure you've kind of heard of this. Like, it can sort of fall into that structure of there's a patriarch and there's a matriarch, and it in the C-suite, the women hold the roles that are more about like caring about people and like things like that, whereas like the financial decision makers are the men or things like that, right? And in that piece, I kind of raised with the journalist how things like this, they can often fall into that quote unquote, well, that's just how Uncle Jerry is kind of thing.
How it
You know what I
is,
mean?
I
Yeah, that's
do.
just how it is. People have to kind of get in line and it's not a big deal, like just buck up type of thing. But, it depends what your mission is with your leadership. If you are really trying to build that inclusive leadership and expand your consciousness around these things, then yeah, psychological safety can be an inroads into understanding that, and then you reap the benefits with the ROI from your team.
Yeah. And so when we come up with those, you know, issues or mistakes or making those things conscious that are unconscious, I think about employees, team members, and going, you know, someone saying, you know, Cynthia is at this again. And we just say, well, that's just her, just let it go. That's not making a psychologically safe area either, because we're just letting Cynthia swear while we're on the phone. And I'm just using you as an example, of course, right? But those can be some of those issues that we just don't think of or that we just accept, which psychological safety is saying we need to think about that and how does it affect our others? Do you see other big issues like that or other mistakes that maybe leaders are making when it comes to psychological safety? And again, these might be unconscious and we're just helping people bring them conscious, right?
Yes, I love this way of thinking about it, and I would highlight three. Certainly, this is not a list of everything. It's not a be all end all, but there's three areas that I think can help people be, again, like an entry point for this if you want to think more about psychological safety. So one is assuming that a one size fits all approach works for all of your team members. You kind of just highlighted that with your example of like maybe Cynthia acts this way and like that's creating a lack of safety for somebody else. The way that you would approach talking to Cynthia and versus the other person or the other people is going to be different. So it's important when you do that in these sorts of moments where you take the opportunity to intervene, make sure you're taking an intersectional approach. So think about, it's kind of part of that building trust, building a relationship, understanding where the other person might be coming from. So if your team member is someone who is newer in their career and they're younger, and they're Gen Z versus if they are, a few years from retirement and their background is an XYZ, like take these things into consideration and think about how can you create a space in this conversation where they can talk to you openly. Because I can tell you, if in your example, if you go to Cynthia and you tell Cynthia to stop swearing in a certain way, she might actually end up trying to do it more, right? Like, so this is kind of getting into some conflict management as well as negotiation strategies, but take those things into consideration. Intersectional approach, one size does not fit all. The second thing that I see a lot of leaders kind of getting tripped up on is focusing only on high-level policies or kind of the official, words around things without actually addressing how is this operationalized day to day? How does this trickle down into how we interact? In your example with in the trucking industry, like how does a policy actually play out in a locker room setting? What is appropriate, what is not appropriate? How do you make sure that your actions as a leader actually align with the words that you might have set up? It's very easy to write a very nice sounding policy. Actually, sometimes it's really hard. It's easier, right? It's easier to do that in the words. Where trust can be broken a lot of times is when the action, the ramifications, the consistent follow-up isn't there, and then trust is broken. And then the third thing I'd say when it comes to common mistakes with psychological safety is missing that key connection of kind of brushing it off like, oh, that's nice to have, but we have to focus on our KPIs. Like that would be great, but our like revenue numbers are off and such and such. The truth is, and that Aristotle study from Google proved it, is the psychological safety underpins all of those things. So productivity, engagement, retention, innovation, just less conflict amongst your team and things like that. So it is really one of those keystone pieces in your team working well together. So that's probably the biggest one. I don't
And
know what you've seen,
yeah, no, I agree 100% because when you have a good collaborative team where everybody feels safe and secure and heard and valued, profits naturally go up because you have everything else falling into place, right? So those KPIs will go in the right direction if we have a nice, good, collaborative, organized team. I want to go back to something you said, though, which is the second one you said. I see this way too much when I do business coaching and talking to some of my leaders as well. You have a pretty policy, it's all written down, but you do nothing with it. Well, policies are great because maybe you need them for legal things, but they're only great when you actually do something with them, you stick to them, you discipline on them, or whatever that looks like. They have to be more than just written words. So I love that you mentioned
Absolutely.
that.
And the way that you illustrated that too, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about it sends a message, right? You make this great policy, okay, that's excellent lip service, but until you back it up with consistent action, that's all that it is. And I've written about this in my Forbes contributor column too, about like how we are all right now navigating a really challenging time in workplaces globally, right? Like after the pandemic, I mean, and that we're still feeling the waves after that and a lot of new things now, but the social construct, quote unquote, at work, Tara, it has been like fully broken. You
Yeah,
know
it's
what I
about
mean?
rebuilding at this point, right?
Yes. We are rebuilding, and that's an extra critical time where you want to be careful. You got to make sure you have your supports, your consultants and your executive coaches like you and me, like advising on these things, because there are a lot of places where you could misstep and not even realize it because you are a busy leader, right? Maybe you do have all these policies you're revamping, but if it's not followed up with anything, then you've just signaled to your entire company that that's not a priority.
Exactly. And I love that you said that. And I want to come to the next point too, because we want to help our listeners who are thinking, you know what, some of this might be happening in my organization, or, I've built policies, but I haven't done a thing with them. What do you have, like a roadmap to success or some steps where our people can actually start with building a more psychologically safe workplace, especially because it's been crazy since COVID and going on and whatever's going on in the world these days, how can we start to rebuild that or build that if we don't have it?
Okay, number one blanket thing I would say, because I feel like this could feel very intimidating for a lot of people, because it's true. Everyone is overwhelmed, everyone's overloaded. I get it. Especially leaders, right? Because everything kind of just floats up to you, and at the end of the day, the buck stops with you type of thing. So, one, I'm a big fan of just like, let's try to remove overwhelm
Yes,
and
absolutely.
understand that one micro step is better than nothing.
Yep, 100%.
So I will say that just as the the whole, lens through which we're looking at this. With that in mind, I think it starts with leadership development and self-awareness. So if even once a week you are checking in with yourself to be like, okay, what happened this past week? Because like I don't know about you, but some days I don't even know what happened yesterday if I don't look at my calendar,
Yes,
like,
exactly. And leaders
right.
have those problems because they're so overwhelmed.
Right. Yes. And there's so much that you're responsible for. So I understand that pressure. But take the time, pause, have a look, what happened this past week, and then maybe you can take one interaction. And I'm actually fine if you even do this random at the beginning. Just randomly pick one day of the week and one interaction you had and try to think about it through the lens of psychological safety. Where did you see that that came up or didn't come up? What might you be able to have done differently if you were thinking about it more in that way? Or do you see kind of growth from how you might have approached that situation with that person like a year ago, 6 months ago, whatever the time frame? So that's one way you can just build that self-awareness muscle, which I think goes a long, long way, Tara. And
Huge.
I'm sure
Yeah.
in working with your clients, like that's a lot of it is
It is.
strengthening that, right?
The self-awareness needs to be there so that we can learn and grow. Because if we're not actually, like you said, reflecting and really paying attention, that we can't even bring the unconscious conscious. We just keep going status quo and living along the line, right?
It's just robotic, kind of we're on autopilot. And that, if anything, I think is the biggest sort of danger for leaders is once you start operating autopilot, I mean, even just from a good business and leadership perspective, we can't do that right now. The biggest set of skills we need is adaptability and nimbleness because the landscape is completely tumultuous. So, more concretely, how this could look and how you could get support for the self-awareness is like leadership development. So, do you need to do some kind of leadership development program to give you an external structure around that? Is executive coaching the move for you? Is it more of management skills training that your entire executive leadership team needs, or your first-time managers, or different people at different levels? And you can kind of learn through those too, even if that's not the exact population that you're training up in your company. And then beyond that, because it all starts, I really believe it all kind of starts with us, and then it emanates out in leadership. So part of that piece of how it starts emanating out is creating systems for feedback and communication. So as you learn, I'm a very each one teach one person. So, if you're leading a team, as you learn, you might find that naturally you are just imparting this information also to your team, or the way you're moving differently, the way you're showing up differently in a more evolved way as a leader, it's going to positively uplift your team too. So make that formal. Make there be opportunities, make there be create opportunities for like regular touch base, check-ins, and communication and dialogue, because a lot of people learn through talking things through, and you are going to learn so much. Also, it can be a really good litmus test for that psychological safety, because if you find people are on eggshells around you or around certain people, that's a huge red flag that something is going on there, and we actually could work on that psychological safety. So I don't know what your thoughts are.
Absolutely.
That was a lot.
It's interesting because I've actually developed a leadership development program that covers everything that helps us become more psychologically safe, knowledgeable, just through things like feedback, just through doing some self-reflection, understanding what it even means to have an inclusive workplace. All of these things, can help us learn, which is It's interesting you mentioned the program because I have that exact program out there right now.
That's right. That's amplifying leadership, right? And I don't know if you've thought about it this in because you had asked me earlier kind of like why psychological safety is so important. And it's beyond kind of the abstract for me, because why I in my journey with Embrace Change, why I realized that we're our niche in terms of working with women of color, BIPOC women, women of certain race and ethnic backgrounds, is because they were reflecting back to me that in coaching with me, I was able to create the psychological safety for them to go deeper and transform their own leadership. I bet you that you've had that experience too with
Oh,
your
yes.
clients, because if you, like you wouldn't be able to be successful if you couldn't catalyze that and create that. And then the way that it scales is we've had, and I've seen this work at a group like level in our leadership accelerator for those women leaders across industry. They've never been in an environment before, a learning environment before that was this deeply psychologically safe for them from the beginning. You know, like it was like failure, quote unquote, failure and making mistakes and putting yourself out there was the first lesson in a way. And to see that you would then not have to go into a default shame response, to see that you weren't going to be judged by your peers or the facilitator, and to understand that's actually going to be celebrated because you pushed yourself, you
Yeah,
know,
you're
like,
there. Showed up.
yeah, just life-changing stuff. So I just had to say that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I do want to come
Yeah.
up to back to one little tip that you provided
Please.
in the stepping stones, which is having those one-on-one feedback meetings with people. I am an advocate for that. I'd love to doing that. You know, not only does it help you learn a little bit more about your employees, but what their challenges are, and it
Yeah.
starts to build trust. And if you've never
Yes.
done this before, it takes time. We're going to put that out
Yes.
there. Be
Yes.
patient, but keep
Yes.
going because people
Yes.
like that that you're asking them, like, what were your challenges this week? Or do you know of any safety issues we should be aware of? Or,
Yeah.
you know, what can I do to help you? Do you have the resources you need? Builds trust, right? So I love
Yes.
that you brought that up.
Yes, I love that. I even think, you know, this harkens back to my early days when I was building up my coaching practice, but even the smallest tweak, like instead of saying, "Do you have any questions?" of saying, "What questions do you have?" Like it's a very nuanced pivot that I made there from it being a little more of a closed question to a more open question that presumes that there will be questions that can add that psychological safety in for the person. And especially if you bring the energy of, yes, please ask me questions, right?
Yes,
Because
yeah.
if you say that, but then your actions are making them feel it's I'm not actually okay to ask questions right now, that's problematic. But it goes back to self-awareness and the practice. And
Yeah.
your point, you can't fast forward experience. So wherever you are in your leadership journey, like please honor that. And one micro step is better than no action.
100% agree with that. 100% agree. Like, take the baby steps because we don't change overnight most times.
No,
99%
no.
of the time, it is based on our baby steps, our little habit changes, those little things that we're starting to do. And your point, you know, not asking so many closed questions. And just in case there's anybody in the audience who doesn't know what we mean questions that is a yes or no only answer. We want
Right.
to have open questions. You know, what are your challenges this week? Doesn't allow for yes or no. It allows for
Right.
conversation,
Right.
right? Yeah,
Yep.
great.
That's
So
right.
if we had to leave our audience with that big tip that you want to share today that really helps them with psychological safety understanding or starting or just that baby step tip, what would you say?
I would merely start with remember. So remember and try to keep in mind, you know, even if you make a reminder once a month on your calendar, like a little post-it note, something like that, because I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on, but just remember that psychological safety is foundational to wellness, productivity, success in the workplace. So for you as a leader, for you as someone who is a part of a team, think about your relationship to it. Do you feel psychological safety at work? Are you able to provide it for others? And just going into that inquiry, Tara, I think that would be my biggest tip. Just don't
Yeah.
forget it.
Don't forget it and then lead by example, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank
Yep.
you so much for a wonderful conversation about an extremely important topic that means a lot to both you and I, and hopefully our audience as well. So, if our audience wanted to learn more about you or about your company, how can they find you online?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for engaging in this conversation, Tara. I
Okay.
found it really fulfilling, and I hope that it helps folks who are listening. So if people are curious about learning more about me or Embrace Change, we're on all of the, you know, socials or whatnot, but you can go to our website, which is embracechange.nyc. And if you scroll to the bottom, all of our socials are linked, but there's a lot of other information on there. We've got a lively blog. Lots of resources at various levels. You can join our community if you're of the identities of women of color or BIPOC women, and get on our newsletter for free weekly tips to your inbox. So I would send folks there unless they're the type that really like to read only about leadership strategy, in which case you probably want to check out my Forbes contributor column. If you just Google Cynthia Pong and Forbes, you'll find it and you can follow me there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And such a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Tara.
Of course, we want to thank our audience. We do hope you were able to gain some valuable information or even a key takeaway today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your journey, or you do want to learn more about that program I talked about called Rise to Leadership, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.